When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Fantasy Six Pack Hour. With your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Touchdown! All right, welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Applegarth. What just happened?
I don't know.
What just happened? Don't do that, whoever just did that.
With me, as usual, this little guy right here.
No kidding. With me as usual, Mr. AJ Applegarth. What's going on, man?
Not much. Ready for Turkey Day to get here so I can just sit, watch football, and not do anything else.
Yeah, I wish, man. I got to travel on Thursday, doing a little mini Thanksgiving with the extended family that day. So I'll be moving around, but we're going to do a smaller one here with just us, more traditional one. So it'll be good times, though. I'm looking forward to it. We got a good show today, getting you ready for Thanksgiving week 12 of the fantasy football season. Playoffs are right around the corner, everybody. So time to buckle down and make that run for the championship. But before we get into that, I want to remind everybody, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, leave those comments. We appreciate it. And, we love hearing from you. And of course, guys, as you're making that playoff push, as you're making that playoff run, you're going to want to be an all access member of Fantasy Six Pack. You're going to get access to the award-winning rankings. We've got multiple guys that, including myself, that are ranking pretty highly over there on Fantasy Pros. Our IDP rankings are kicking ass too. So go over there and get that. And then, you're going to get, along with that, you're going to get access to all the DFS and the betting advice, the projections, and then you're going to be able to reach out directly to me, AJ, Mike LaPlante behind the scenes here, and everybody else at Fantasy Six Pack on our Discord in those members only channels. And that's where the real action is, man. You get all your custom league questions answered there. So without further ado, though, let's jump into our show. And we want to welcome our guest from the NFL Network and Mr. Marcus Grant. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Appreciate the invitation. Glad to be here.
Yeah, man. Thank you for coming on. It
definitely
been a long time. We are happy to have you here and looking forward to having a great show.
What's up, Jamie?
So we're gonna start off here. It was a busy week 11. Post week 11, I guess, man. So of course the Thursday night game brought us a couple of big injuries. We know Joe Burrow is one out for the rest of the season. I want to get your quick thoughts on how you think this impacts the skill players there for Cincinnati. So, the main ones, obviously Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, and then Higbee when he eventually, not Higbee, Higgins, when he eventually comes back, kind of how much of a downgrade are you giving these guys with Browning instead of Burrow?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everybody takes a hit. I think the guys who take the lowest hit, the least amount of hit, Joe Mixon, because I do think they're going to have an increased reliance on the running game just because, you know, you're not going to expect Jake Browning to have to stand back there and throw the ball 25, 30 times a game. If he is doing that, things have gone wrong for the Bengals. So I think you see a lot of Joe Mixon, maybe even a few dump-offs to Joe Mixon. So I think that helps him. And I think Jamar Chase stays fairly steady. I mean, I think everybody does take a step back. But, you know, again, eventually if you are Jake Browning, you look around and you realize that if I'm going to have success, I've got to get the ball in Jamar Chase's hands. So I still think he sees a lot of targets. T. Higgins, it's going to hurt a little bit, right? He drops from being probably a wide receiver 2 down to maybe a wide receiver 3 or 4, depending on the situation. Tyler Boyd, he probably, look, in shallower leagues, you can probably put him back on the waiver wire. In deeper leagues, I think you hold on to him just because you never know what's going to happen. But it's going to be hard, at least in the short term, to get him in the lineup. It's worth waiting a week and seeing what may be. Watch the Bengals this week, see how things turn out, and then make a further decision from there. But I just don't see a real path for Tyler Boyd to be a real fantasy asset for you for the rest of the year with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they all take a hit, unfortunately. I do agree with you. We got asked a question on Sunday during our Sunday morning show. Should we trade Brian or should I accept Brian Robinson and I forget the receiver, Smith Najigba, but he didn't need Smith Najigba. Like, he would have never started for his team, he said. And he would be giving away Chase. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm not feeling that. Like, I feel like Chase's volume is still going to be so heavy, even though it's not great volume now at this point. Like, you want that still.
Yeah, you do. And I think, look, I was one of the many, many people who thought big things were coming for JSN this year. And it hasn't really happened yet. I think the last couple of weeks have been a little bit better. They've given you a little bit more hope. But it's not what you want it to be. Seattle's passing game still funnels heavily through DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So there's that part of it. So that seems sort of like an add-on, like somebody just threw that in to try and add some extra value there. And
yeah.
Was it Brian Robinson? Was that the running back?
Yeah. I mean, they were selling high on Brian Robinson. And of course, he went out on Sunday and had a great game again. But
I totally get that. But I do think that Robinson is going to be up and down. I mean, 2 weeks ago, he did it where he had 100 yards receiving. I mean, that may never happen again.
Thanks to like
you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just
that's 60 yard pass.
That's not his game. So that, you may never get something like that again. If those were the two that were being offered to me, I think I still hang on to Jamar Chase because even with Jake Browning there, I think his ceiling overall is higher than either of those two guys that were offered to me.
Yeah, I agree. So we told him to decline that. So on the other side of the field, Mark Andrews obviously had that injury as well. So, clear and cut, Mark Andrews decline. Quick thoughts on Isaiah Likely filling in. People get really excited about this guy. He's shown a couple of, flashes, but me personally, I'm kind of skeptical. Like, I don't really know. He just hasn't been as consistent when given a chance to me.
I think Isaiah Likely is going to be like a lot of tight ends where you're going to have some, there's the potential for big weeks, but there's just as much potential for him to give you, two catches for 23 yards, right? Like, I think that those are both in the range of outcomes. What we love is that last year in his rookie season, he had two really big preseason games. And then he had a couple of nice games during the season when Mark Andrews was there, but he wasn't 100% healthy. And there were a lot of weeks where it felt like he was a decoy and Likely did well in those opportunities. And so I think that's going to be similar now. I mean, obviously there's no Mark Andrews, but we'll see if Odell Beckham is healthy because he looks like he is kind of getting back into form a little bit. Zay Flowers is having a great rookie year. We've even seen a few more targets for Rashad Bateman. So I think there will be weeks where Isaiah Likely is going to go out and he may get you 12, 15 fantasy points. And there's going to be weeks where he gets you three. I just think that's going to be the nature of it for him, which honestly, there are like maybe five or six tight ends that you can count on, right? I mean, you've got Kelce, Hawkinson, Kittle, Sam Laporta. I think I'm probably missing one or two in there, but there's not many. After that, you know, your other tight ends, they could finish as the tight end 7. They could finish as the tight end, you know, 21. Like, that's just kind of what it is with the tight end position. And I don't think Likely is going to be any different.
Yeah. I mean, when you get the backup tight end, probably the third tight end for the Chargers scoring touchdowns.
I mean, that's
what tight end is.
Stone Smart is out here scoring touchdowns. Right? And let you in on a little dirty secret. When I do NFL Fantasy Live tomorrow, I may talk up Donald Parham for a little bit just because this is where we are now.
He's been all right when Everett's out. That's the thing.
Yeah, he's been all right when Everett was there too, which is really frustrating for somebody who likes Gerald Everett, right? If you've been starting Gerald Everett, and then Donald Parham. Yeah, there you go. Like, you start Gerald Everett, and then Donald Parham's the one scoring touchdowns. It makes you want to, you know, drive into a wall.
I had Everett in Razz Bowl and just had him all season as like a backup tight end option, thinking, yeah, he's going to have a couple of games here and there where he's going to get points. I eventually just had to go out and put a dollar or two on Parham because it's like, he's just getting the touchdowns. I'm just going to get this guy, and then I'll get the best of both worlds. Now that we have to start the guys, I might just skip them all together. That's part of the problem. I'm on board with you guys with the Likely train. You know, as you said, OBJ is starting to get more active and get more involved. Flowers has been awesome this year. So I think those are going to be kind of the new safety blanket takeover for Andrews, and they kind of have been these past few weeks, and Flowers really all season. But Likely, he'll be a guy. So that's probably about it.
Yeah. Just one last quick thought. Like, what does this do to Lamar's fantasy values? He's still like top five pretty much every week because of his legs. I feel like he hasn't really been running as much the last couple of weeks, but
He really hasn't been running a lot. I mean, but I think because the potential of it is always there, that alone sort of keeps him in the range of top five quarterbacks. It's been a weird year because quarterback scoring is down across the board. The fact that everybody makes such a big deal about Josh Allen's turnovers, and he does turn the ball over a lot. Yeah. And he's still the QB1.
Right.
You know, the fact that we talk about the fact that, you know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't really have anybody to catch the football besides Travis Kelce, but he's still Patrick Mahomes and you're starting him every week. I mean, even with Lamar, you know, at last check, his average yards per game rushing, I believe, would be the second lowest of his career if it stays this way through the rest of the season. So he's not running as much, but he's still a top five fantasy quarterback right now. And so I think that sort of stays the same.
Huge weeks.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Look, even without Mark Andrews, yeah, sure, it takes a hit and from the passing game a little bit. But, you know, at any given week, Lamar could, you know, pop off and run for 80 yards, right? Like, you just know that's always in the range of outcomes. So that makes it hard to really fade him at any point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
he's had two games here with, 60 or more yards at double-digit carries, and then 14 for 101 way back in week 3. And that's really like his breakout rushing game. Other than that, it's been pretty mild for him. So I think his stance doesn't change too much for me. I'm still putting him out there. I'm still starting him every week that I have him. So. All right, let's move into some running back injuries here. Joseph, what you got?
Yeah, so, more bad news coming out of week 11, obviously, that we got to talk about here. So Aaron Jones is out. It sounds like it's going to be week to week. Devon Achane is re-aggravated that knee injury. And then KW3 oblique. And if for me, oblique injuries, all I think of is baseball. And if we know anything about baseball, they take a while sometimes. So do not expect
Walker.
Name. Do not expect him back.
Yeah,
Kenneth Walker. I kept wanting to say Kyren Williams because this is on my brain.
He will be back soon.
I was writing an article earlier today, and it was like one of the last things I was talking about was Kyren Williams. So that's on my head and KW, and I was like, whatever. Anyway, we don't spend too much time on this, you know. But maybe pick one, Marcus, and just give us your thoughts, like the most impactful one.
Yeah, I would probably say the most impactful one might be in Seattle with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, and maybe that's because from the moment the Seahawks drafted Charbonnet, I thought he was going to be a threat to Walker's job, and it took a while. Walker held on to that gig for a good long while, but you've seen it over the last few weeks. I think if you go back, you know, and this, I know he got hurt this past week, so that maybe doesn't count. But even before that, the 3 weeks before that, Charbonnet was playing more snaps and he was starting to close the gap in terms of rushing attempts. Plus, he is a better pass catcher than Walker is. I mean, Charbonnet is a guy who does have the potential to be a three down back. We know he can catch the football. The Seahawks were already using him in passing situations and at the 2 minute drill, end of half, end of game. So he is able to step into a really big opportunity here without Kenneth Walker. So I think he's going to see a lot of volume. I think that's what works in his favor because the schedule certainly does it. If you look at the Seahawks schedule over the next month, they've got the Niners coming up on Thanksgiving. They've got the Cowboys, I think, the next week. The week after that, they've got the 49ers again. And then they've got the Eagles. So the next month, at least on paper, is not very friendly for Zach Charbonnet. But again, I don't see anybody there in Seattle that's really going to threaten him for touches. I don't believe in DJ Dallas. I just don't think there's Kenny McIntosh. I know is another guy on that roster. I just don't see any of these guys getting enough opportunity to really worry you about Charbonnet, and you just hope that the amount of touches he gets outweighs what the negative potential matchups are.
Yeah, I mean, you love the fact that just this past week he got this six targets, caught all six. Wasn't a lot of production from it, but that's going to carry fantasy value just by itself. I mean, that's gold for a running back. So the volume alone for him puts him into like top 15 conversation. And then if he does happen to get a good matchup, which doesn't sound like he's got one coming up for a while,
not soon,
maybe there's a chance. But he's still, in my opinion, a pretty locked in starter for probably most fantasy teams, for unless you're just loaded at running back. That kind of volume is hard to find. So, yeah. Next up here, the last injury related thing, Cooper Kupp, obviously day to day with a sprained ankle. I don't know. I kind of think he misses a game, but I mean, we could be surprised. But if he does miss, obviously, Puka goes right back to his early season role, I would imagine, especially with Kyren Williams coming back. The offense looks like it did early on. Any disagreements with that? Or
no, I think it goes back to being the Puka and Tutu show. Which, again, I think I said earlier in the season, you know, Puka and Tutu sounds like a Disney movie. but I think it goes back to being those two guys. The only concern I have is that lately the Rams offense has not been particularly good. They've been through a stretch where even getting to 20 points in a game seems to be a struggle for them. There's one game I sort of throw out because it was the game that Stafford was hurt and Brett Rippon started. And I think that's sort of like, all right, you know, you can scratch that one from the record a little bit. But even with Stafford, they're not scoring a lot of points right now. And so I think you're going to see the ceilings for both Nacua and Atwell lowered a little bit. Beyond that, I'm not going to trust Tyler Higbee. Austin Trammell. I have to stop myself because like I was thinking about him today and I almost called him Alan Trammell. So like it's Austin Trammell. This guy's not playing the middle infield for the Detroit Tigers of the 1980s. Yeah. Like, so it's not him. You know, I know he got on the field a lot last week, but I don't really trust him. So it's pretty much Puka, a little bit of Tutu, but even then, I don't have the same expectations for them that I did after the first month of the season.
Yeah, and
And sadly, like, it's Higbee's not taking advantage of any of this, it seems like. So we wish he would. He's he's seeing some decent targets, but touchdowns aren't there, so it is what it is. All right, so we're gonna jump into our kind of like pseudo rankings talk, but we do it via start sit questions, but we actually have a real start sit question from a viewer here, Dion. I think, Mike, you want to pop it up on screen here? So he's asking, should we flex Kamara or Dell? I do not memorize the schedule, but my rankings say, if anybody else wants to answer, I got to go find them first.
You got it would Kamara be Kamara versus Atlanta.
I know Dell is playing the Jaguars this week. I know that much for sure. The Saints have
Falcons.
So for me, here's the question with Kamara: is it Derek Carr or is it Jameis?
Ooh, that's a good question.
And I think it's going to be Carr. That was the thing that the Saints said before the bye. He got hurt. It was like concussion protocol slash a shoulder injury. And the thought was they had the bye, and that was going to be enough to get Carr healthy again. If it's Carr, then I might go with Kamara because he's more likely to kind of check the ball down. If it's Jameis, Jameis is going to throw YOLO balls downfield.
Olave lives.
It's going to be great for Olave. It's going to be great for Rashid Shaheed. It's not going to be great for Alvin Kamara. So if it's Derek Carr, which I think it's going to be, then I'm probably going to go with Kamara. If it's somehow Jameis, then I go Tank Dell.
And there's definitely no Michael Thomas. He got put on the IR. No Michael Thomas. So you know that also helps Kamara a little bit too. So I'm still Kamara.
Juwan Johnson sighting. Here we come.
It's a scam. Oh, no. Our favorite, Taysom. Anyway. Yeah.
All right.
We have another one from him. Oh, he also asked Metcalf or Dell. I
would probably go Dell over Metcalf.
Yeah, that's always tough. You know Metcalf can just ball out, but yeah, I'd go Dell.
Also, Metcalf may have Drew Lock this week. I know Geno was limited at practice today, but you know, we'll see what happens. It's a short week, so it very well could be Drew Lock. And if it's Drew Lock, I don't think I really want to mess around with any Seahawks receivers.
I mean, DK is kind of banged up too, isn't he?
Guys saying DK is injured. Is that, did I miss that?
he's questionable right now. We're all questionable in our own way.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. I was born questionable and I have not changed since. So.
Yeah. I mean, it misses practice Tuesday.
It's been obviously track what Metcalf's doing.
It sounds like he's probably going to be okay.
I sound like Dell better personally.
Yeah, but it's Dell regardless. So, all right. So let's jump into our first question. And Mike, voice in the sky, goes on and asks, so you have the floor, Mike.
All right. And since you're our special guest, Marcus, you get to go first. Don't worry. Once you go first, it's all over with. we're going to start off with the QB here. And who are you starting this week? You got Dak Prescott versus the Commanders or CJ Stroud against the Jaguars?
I'm going Dak here. It's a good question, though. I mean, I don't think it's just a slam dunk, but I'm going Dak. I mean, dude's been red hot. Over the last month, I think he's the QB1, 13 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And really, actually, since that game against the 49ers when the Cowboys got thumped and Dak looked awful, he's been really, really good since then. So I'm going to stay with him, not to mention the fact that they get a Commanders defense that just got torched by Tommy DeVito. I think Jags-Texans might be one of the more fun games of the week. I mean, it's a huge game in the division and everything. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But I think in terms of just straight-up fantasy production, I think I want Dak this week.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a Thanksgiving home game. Dallas does like to score a lot of points on those games, it feels like. Yeah. So... Yeah, I mean, everything you said. I mean, Washington's just abysmal. Yeah, you can't lose to a third or fourth string quarterback, whatever he ended up being. That was bad. They made him look really, really, really good.
Yeah, thanks to MVS missing that catch last night, and that allowed, I guess, the Eagles to get out of being the worst team against opposing quarterbacks. So thank you, Chiefs, for not having a good receiving crew. Dak all the way for me, too. Yeah, I mean, I love what Stroud's done. He's been awesome so far this year. Should get Rookie of the Year offensive. So I'm leaning Dak on this. Pretty easy.
All right. It started off that way last week, a clean sweep. All right. It's going to get tougher, I promise. Next quarterback question here, Joe. You get to go. Justin Herbert against Baltimore or Brock Purdy against the Seahawks?
I might shock you. I'm going Purdy. Baltimore is nasty, man. They've had a couple down games defensively, but overall, man, they're just tough. And man, there's just something missing in LA, man. It's not clicking. He's had some really nice games, but like last week wasn't pretty. They should have won that game, in my opinion. But you know, they lose it. What was it, like 21-20 or something close? Like, it was like stupid.
23-20.
Yeah, I mean, they scored. Oh, 21-20 was the Denver game. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, they only scored 20 points. Like, you expect this offense to just be able to rifle off more points than that. You know, Eckler was shut down, and you know, if Keenan is not just going off, then it doesn't feel like they really have anybody else to be able to help out. You know, Quentin Johnston just keeps dropping passes left and right. And so going against that Baltimore defense, especially at Baltimore, no thanks. I'll take Purdy, even though it's in Seattle. Purdy's been, you know, now that Debo is back, that team is looking like it did early on again, and they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm taking Purdy in this one. Just I don't love the matchup, and I feel like Herbert has a similar issue to Patrick Mahomes in that, you know, with Mahomes, you know, the ball's probably going to go to Travis Kelce most of the time. I think with Justin Herbert, you know, it's going to go toward Keenan Allen most of the time because there's nobody else there that you feel comfortable throwing the football to on a regular basis. I look at the fact that how deep down the depth chart have they gone, right? They lose Mike Williams. Jalen Guyton was hurt last week. And even then,
they've lost Palmer, too.
They lost Josh Palmer. Even then, you know, Quentin Johnston still had just about the same number of targets as he always did. I mean, you would figure when everybody else is gone, it would just be like, all right, now we're going to throw to Quentin Johnston. And even then, that was sort of break glass in case of emergency. You just get the sense that Herbert does not trust him. So at that point, it gets really hard. Where do you go? I mean, look, we just sat here and talked about Donald Parham and Stone Smart. That's where the Chargers are right now.
That's where we're at.
You know, and throwing the fact that they got to go against the Ravens defense. Give me Brock Purdy all day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you guys on Purdy. You know, for being such a hater on him. I mean, dude's been balling out, and I got to give him his props. They're due. I mean, he's been awesome for the majority of the season. And I also look back at Herbert, what he just did, you know, three weeks ago, at the Jets, who were the, you know, tied for fifth or sixth, I believe, against opposing quarterbacks, you know, averaging right now about 15 fantasy points. Baltimore is second, averaging about a little over 12 and a half. He put up a whopping 7.14 points in my sleeper league. So that still sits in my brain, and that's going to be what he puts up this week. It's going to be similar. So I'm going with Purdy.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Do have another question before we move on to running backs. Looks like Jay Money, bunch of numbers.
20
drop George Pickens for Cortland Sutton half PPR. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I probably would too. Although, I mean,
with Matt Canada gone, I don't know. Do you
that's
have,
what I was like. That's like I don't know. Yeah, like, I want to wait and see. I want to wait and see what's going to happen with Pickens now that there's a new offensive coordinator. I want to know, will they let George Pickens run more than just go routes? Right. I mean, when Deontay Johnson was hurt, they had him running a wide variety of routes, and he got a lot of targets, and he was really productive, and it was really super cool. And then Johnson comes back, and basically they just went to George Pickens. They're like, hey, man, just run straight, and maybe once in a while we'll throw it to you. So I just want to see if this new OC is going to allow Pickens to have a bigger of a wider route tree. So that's the only reason I would be hesitant to just straight up drop George Pickens right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing this isn't
out there in your league.
I know. This has that to part be a too. Shallow league.
that's the bigger question also. For me.
To me, it's the quarterback. Like, Russ isn't awesome anymore, but he's better than Pickett. So I would trust Wilson to get Cortland Sutton the ball more than Pickett to get Pickens the ball. So
yeah. That's all right. Moving into running backs here, Mike.
All right, AJ, and you brought it up. You get to start it off.
Oh, all right.
This one is a realistic question because of the Kamara suspension. But do you want Saquon Barkley versus the Patriots this week or Alvin Kamara versus the Falcons?
I mean, again, I kind of feel like it depends on the quarterback that's playing. But, the Giants just suck.
Except when they're playing the Commanders.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
They're like, can we just play?
I'm not wearing my Commander's hat this week.
I would have made fun of you for doing so. I think I'm gonna go Saquon unless Carr's playing. I'm definitely all in on Kamara over Barkley.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going Kamara over Barkley. Mm-hmm. I don't think Bill Belichick allows DeVito to do to them what he did to the Commanders. Like, I just don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to sit here and they're going to figure out, look, if we take away Saquon Barkley and we make DeVito have to throw to, I don't know, take your pick, Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, I would feel pretty good about my chance. Well, I say that, but then I thought about who's the Patriots quarterback, and I don't think we know the answer to that. So
that's true. Yeah, still up in the air.
Man, I would say that if you like offense, I wouldn't watch this game because I don't think it's going to be an
awesome
game.
DeVito versus Zappy. Woohoo!
I mean, it's just going to be dumb football, right? Like if you are a sicko, then I think you absolutely watch this game. But for the rest of us who value our mental health, maybe just watch Red Zone.
Hey,
Scott Hansen will show you all the things you need.
Just go outside. You know? Go outside and breathe in the fresh air.
As the kids say, go touch grass, right? Like, just go.
Climb a tree. Oh, rescue a cat. You know, why not? Anything other than watch this game. Yeah.
To finish it off, I'm with you guys, Kamara. Barkley's... I mean, we talked... Funny enough, I got asked the question this past Sunday by Mike about my rankings, and that I had Barkley a little lower in the rankings than some others. And of course he goes out and busts out an RB1 for the week naturally. But I mean, my point still stands. Like, he hasn't been great for the last month and change. And it's all because the quarterback play there, like the offense can't stay on the field. So that limits his upside. And so I put him at like RB13 or whatever it was. And you know, I was wrong, but I think more weeks I'm going to be right than wrong with that ranking.
It was a process was right, result was wrong. And
I mean, who knew the Commanders were just going to be like, nah, we're good. We're not going to play today. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, gosh darn it. You guys are clean sweeping me. I don't like it. All right. We're going to get one here where you guys disagree. Marcus, who are you starting this week? Bijan Robinson coming off the bye against the Saints or the red hot Javonte Williams against the stout Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I don't love the matchup, but I'm still going with Javonte Williams. And this is only because at least his head coach has a coherent thought process when it comes to offensive player usage. You know, like, I guess I throw an asterisk on here because we still can't figure out why Sean Payton won't play Marvin Mims. But in terms of like all the other guys that we actually really truly do care about, like Payton gets them on the field and gets them the ball. And so, you know, mm-hmm. I have confidence that Williams is going to get touches, whereas Arthur Smith may just decide that he's going to use Bijan Robinson as like a fullback for Tyler Algier for four quarters, like, and then afterwards he'll go back and he'll blame it on fantasy football. So,
or he's got a sore throat, so he just sits on the sideline.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. We have no idea, right? Like, he might have bubble guts, and like nobody tells us about it until like the second quarter. Who has any idea? So, for that reason, I'm going to go Javonte Williams.
I'm going Bijan. I don't like it. The matchup for Javonte is brutally bad.
Victory.
And so, yeah, aren't you happy, Mike? I did it just for you. but it is Bijan. I mean, look, we saw it last game. Bijan seemed to have turned a corner with the usage. You know, we saw him finally get back over 50% rushing attempts for the team. He ran pretty much all of the running back routes, which he has ran a ton of those all year. That's not really much different, but it was actually even more. I don't know. Maybe there's just something that happened in practice, you know, where, you know, Arthur Smith came out and said something about he needed to like do things away from the ball or whatever garbage he said. And I don't know, maybe Bijan finally proved that he could or something. Who knows, but man, you've got to hope that just carries forward, right? And it's getting toward the end of the season. Your season's pretty much lost. You're going back to Desmond Ridder. Use Bijan Robinson, right? Like, the one thing I'll say about Javonte is like, they did not use him in the passing game at all last week, which was weird. They brought in P. Ryan a ton. They brought in McLaughlin a bunch. When they needed to pass the ball, Williams wasn't really on the field. So that kind of worries me with him going forward. I was really hyped on Williams a couple weeks ago. Last week kind of scared me off of him just slightly.
Well, I mean, but I think that has always been the case, where it's been Samaje Perine in the passing game. I mean, that isn't really a new thing. That does give Perine a little bit of value. I mean, Jaleel McLaughlin is very much the odd man out in this whole group, for sure. But I just, you know, I think overall, I still like Williams' opportunity, and he's getting the ball down near the goal line. But yeah, I mean, you're not wrong when you talk about, you know, the way things work in the passing game.
Well, he was at least seeing, like, in week 8 and week 10, Williams was at least seeing 11 routes run. Now, he was only 3 and 4 targets, but last week he only ran 4 routes. That's like, whoa, that's kind of weird. The huge drop off. Now, it was game script, probably. They were behind a bunch. And so they just threw in Perine, and he ran a crap ton of routes, caught, you know, 7 passes or whatever it was. So that probably has a lot to do with it. So maybe I'm overreacting a little bit. The matchup isn't good either, though. So
McLaughlin did have 5 catches this past week.
He did, too.
It was for 14 yards. So obviously Perine is and should be the one to be favored there for the receiving. I am going to go with Javonte, though. I think that, you know, Cleveland has been awesome against the run all season, but they have dropped off a little bit more recently. You know, obviously Arizona was nothing against them, but Baltimore had a big game against them. Pittsburgh had a good game against them, you know, putting up 164 yards this past weekend from the running backs. So I think Cleveland is becoming a little more susceptible to the rush, whereas New Orleans is still just dominant. So I'm leaning Javonte.
All right. Well, I got what I wanted, so we'll move on. All right. So I did lie a little bit, Marcus. You do have to go one more time first.
Okay.
But you get to start us off with our wide receivers, which is the most fun segment in this one, because you get 3 options. You get to start 2 and sit 1. You want Tank Dell this week versus the Jaguars, Puka Nacua against the Cardinals, or DJ Moore against the Vikings?
This is, for me, it's Tank and DJ. And even though Nacua looks like he's probably going to step up and get more opportunities with no Cooper Kupp, I just have real concerns about the Rams offense right now. I mean, Stafford has not looked great. They, like I said earlier, they can't move the ball. They can't score points. I feel confident that the Texans are going to score. And I just like DJ Moore a lot better with Justin Fields. I mean, I think we saw that immediately Fields comes back, and right away DJ Moore goes back to, you know, putting up points, putting up fantasy points, putting up touchdowns. Moore wasn't bad with Tyson Bagent, but, you know, it's a different situation, right? I mean, you have your QB1 back. So I like him. I like Tank Dell. Those are the two guys I go with.
So I'm actually going Puka and I'm going Dell. I do like Moore. This is super tight for me. I love the volume that we're going to expect Puka to get. Dell and DJ Moore are actually back to back in my like super early rankings right now. These are going to change by Thursday morning. Absolutely. And then even more over the weekend probably, but Dell and Moore are back to back on each other. So, but it slightly leans Dell. As you said, Marcus, I think that game's going to be really fun to watch, a lot of offense. And so expect fireworks there. And yeah, I mean, again, Puka is just, you know, if Cooper Kupp really does miss the week, I mean, 12, 13, 14 targets for Puka, that's hard to match.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely starting Dell. For me, I think I'm going to lean DJ Moore. I love that Fields is back now. And like you said, Marcus, he wasn't like horrific with Bagent there, but he just wasn't the same either. So Puka has been, you know, a great story this year. Arizona. I mean, that's in theory on paper the better matchup against receivers, but I just think that, you know, the quarterback position there is just scary to me. Stafford has not been great recently, as we already talked about. And, you know, who knows, maybe Carson Wentz. We get a sighting of Wentz. So that scares the crap out of me. So I'm going Moore and Dell as well.
All right. So, Joe, you got our next one here. And we already talked about him a little bit, but you want Ja'Marr Chase against the Steelers, Adam Thielen against the Titans, or Calvin Ridley coming in hot in that, you know, that exciting game against the Texans.
Yeah, so I'm sitting Calvin Ridley here, and really this is just more of, we haven't seen it more than one game out of every five, it feels like, from this guy. So I know the matchup's good, and, you know, I know a lot of people are really scared off of Chase. I'm still going back to the well there. I want to see, you know, he's going to get peppered with targets. I had to believe, like, Browning didn't look great, but he didn't look completely lost either. Like, he looked okay. Give him a week to run with the first team. Who knows? We could be super surprised that, you know, he can be a serviceable quarterback. We've been surprised. I mean, come on, who would have come into the season thinking, you know, what am I thinking?
Dobbs.
Thank you. I wanted to say Dobbs. I was like, that's not right. Dobbs. The Dobbs was like a guy that we all were like, oh man, he's the savior for Minnesota. Like, no way. Weirder things have happened. So give me Chase. Give me Thielen. I mean, Ridley's like that. He's got probably the higher ceiling out of the two, shockingly, especially with Chase dealing with Browning. But it just has these games where he just disappears too, and that scares me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going Chase just because we talked about it. The ceiling is really high for him. I mean, he can catch a couple of passes, break a couple tackles, and suddenly, the next thing you know, he's over 100 yards and a touchdown or two, even with Jake Browning. So I like him. And I'm going to go with Thielen just because the floor is safer. I mean, he's just been more consistent week to week. I'm sort of buying into this idea that Calvin Ridley is better with Zay Jones on the field. I know that was kind of a talking point this week, and I'm kind of buying into it, but there's still always the chance he goes back to the three catches for 30 yards or whatever it is, which doesn't get you much, and then it ends up being another Christian Kirk game. So
that's my
fear
worry,
the too. Lack of consistency for Calvin Ridley. So give me Chase and Thielen.
Well, and Zay Jones is back, another game under his belt.
Yeah. He just, you know, he kind of muddles things up as well. So,
yeah, I mean, he does, but the past two games he's played, he's got 9 total targets and no receptions, I believe. Oh, no, sorry. That's carries. What the hell? All right. Yeah, never mind.
I was like, what? Like,
That does not work.
You'll win the argument if it's carries.
He's got 7 receptions on the 9 targets, but only 43 yards. I'm not super worried about Zay Jones coming in and all of a sudden like being Christian Kirk or Calvin Ridley, but I get that his presence does kind of screw things up a little bit. I'm leaning Chase and Thielen just because I think the matchups are better for the two of them.
So we actually do have a couple of questions that that have players in this question. So the first here from Dion, Flowers or Ridley?
I'd probably go Zay Flowers against the Chargers because Chargers defense is not good. So I'm gonna take Zay Flowers, and especially no Mark Andrews. I think that means more for Flowers.
I mean, Zay Flowers was a bogus holding call away from having a phenomenal week last week.
Yes, he was. Yeah. I'm slightly in the Ridley. I get the Flowers argument, though. It's really close for me. This is half PPR that I'm looking at, too. So I guess if you're going full, then I'd probably lean Flowers.
Yeah, I think Flowers is going to have a nice day. So.
And then we had another one. Do we think Adam Thielen is going to stay in the top 10 all year?
I don't, but I don't think he falls off a cliff. Like I thought last week was a week to get away from Thielen. I'm like, they're playing the Cowboys. Nobody else can get open. Dallas can just take him away and you know, it'll be fine. And he went out and had a pretty good game anyway. So
Cowboys, Cowboys get eaten up by the slot.
Yeah.
I kind of had a feeling Thielen was going to do all right.
So, I mean, I think that sort of keeps him in the range. Like, I don't know that he finishes in the top 10, but like I said, I don't think he just completely falls apart down the stretch.
Yeah. I would find it hard to think that he can stay in the top 10, but I mean, he's got Tennessee this week, definitely favorable for him. Then Tampa, he's got twice if you're including week 18. New Orleans, Green Bay, Atlanta, Jacksonville. So, I mean, it's possible, but I think he maybe just finishes like in the top 15. Or right past it. So
yeah, I mean, over the last 3 weeks, he's been like receiver 32 in points per game, and that's PPR. And you know, you would imagine he'd be a little bit higher up there because of the volume he gets. But I think teams are starting to really catch on that. Oh, that's the guy we need to cover. And so, you know, he's gonna struggle that way a little bit too. So
just a little nugget too. I know Frank Reich took over the play calling last week as well. So I don't know if that maybe plays into the,
maybe,
you know, into Thielen's, you know, role in that offense.
Yeah, possibly.
I think he'll be all right the rest of the way. Do I play Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams, or Stevenson at flex? My other running backs are JT and Breece. I think if Kupp's healthy, if he is active, you play him. If not, and I hate playing.
Stevenson's kind of banged up too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Kyren for me because I don't think Kupp's gonna play.
I don't either.
I don't really see him playing. So I think you know, with, as you mentioned, Stevenson banged up in that game. Again, like don't force yourself to have to watch Giants and Patriots. Like don't. So. start Kyren Williams just so you don't have to watch ugly football.
Yeah. I better matchup anyways.
So. Although you do have to worry first game back, maybe they kind of bring him into the offense a little slower. We've seen that with a lot of running backs this year.
But Henderson
don't come in, except for like David Montgomery. They don't come back from IR and like boom, get, you know.
I don't think Sean McVay is going to do that. Also, the fact that they put Daryl Henderson out to pasture today. Like, thank you for your service. Now GTFO. That to me says, yeah, we're waiting for Kyren to come back.
Yeah. When Royce Freeman passes you last week, you know it's not good.
that was heart wrenching for me because I had to play Henderson in the league. It's like, why?
All right. Oh, another question. Should I trade DeAndre Swift for Bijan Robinson?
No. Dynasty, yes.
Yeah, I guess in Dynasty, I would definitely want Bijan. I think in
this year, I think I'd rather have Swift.
I'd rather have Swift.
The Eagles are going to score more.
Yeah, and if they finally pull their heads out of their asses like they did last night and get him the damn ball, he's going to do something with it. He was one of the best players on the field last night. So,
as somebody who has DeAndre Swift on a number of teams, I can't tell you how much I hate the brotherly shove. Because like how often he gets down close and like he gets tackled around the two, and then here comes Jalen Hurts and Jason Kelce, you just shove him on into the end zone. I'm like, you know, just one time, man, you can just turn around and hand it off. That'd be just nice.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. Well,
yeah,
this is the season of sharing.
Shoving
it's
is annoying.
Season.
So. I mean, I like it, but I hate it as a DeAndre owner too.
Yeah.
All right, just one last one.
Man. Keep coming. Jeez. Gus Edwards, Pacheco, Kamara, Kittle need one running back and one flex. Kamara?
Oh, this is a tough one because I would start Gus. I'd start Kamara. I'd start Kittle. Yeah. Wow. I mean, I'd even start Pacheco. I mean, Pacheco against the Raiders? Back. Like, and... wow.
I'd lean Edwards and Kittle.
I'm going to say Edwards and Kittle.
But I need to know who the other tight end is. Like, how do you have Kittle and somebody better than that?
Right?
At tight end.
Unless this is just a league where it's just, you know, all flexes or something. I do play in a league where it's like you have a quarterback and then a whole bunch of flexes. So maybe that's what it is?
Huh. I'm going to stick with it. Edwards and Kittle for me.
Oh, he has Kelce. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Which is basically a humble brag.
Edwards.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, unless you have a Kelce or an Andrews, but
I'm probably going Kamara. I see Pacheco, man, but like he doesn't score touchdowns. No. It's so frustrating.
Nine touchdowns since week 7 for Gus Edwards.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. They get down there and as somebody who has Lamar, I'm like, dude, run the ball with Lamar. Lamar, that's what you're there for.
Damn it.
Like, damn it, Gus Bus. But yeah, I mean, I see the argument for Gus. I could get on board with that.
I mean, Kamara, it sucks too because
sucks to sit Kittle. But
I've been all about like start all your running backs against the Raiders too, which would be Pacheco. But I mean, with all the other guys there, it's hard to make a case for him.
They just spread the ball out, or you know, they run him a lot. And he runs hard. They just don't give the ball.
He looked too.
It matters
too.
He did. Yeah. And then they would like stop running and then he'd get close and they'd be like, nah, we're good. We're just going
to
pass.
We're gonna throw it to someone who's going to drop the ball. Justin Watson, you're up.
Yeah. It's very bizarre that they do not use Pacheco inside like the 10 yard line very much. Yeah.
All right, Mike, last receiver question. Let's move on here.
Yes, sir. And AJ, you get to start it off. Oh, Garrett Wilson. Against the Dolphins with Tim Boyle, Cortland Sutton versus the Browns, or Chris Godwin against the Colts. Who are you sitting?
Who am I sitting?
Well, you got to start two. You're sitting
Garrett
one.
Wilson. Yeah, I know. I'm going to sit Wilson. I mean, as much as I feel like this game, you know, they're going to need to throw it, but I don't know Tim Boyle from the guy at my grocery store who cuts the shrimp and the meat.
They would probably do just as well.
this week. Tim Boyle, who works in maybe the deli department. I think they're the same guy. So he may be multifaceted, but he's not a quarterback is what I'm getting at. No, I mean, clearly he is, but yeah, Sutton is just a touchdown machine. We've seen it. I'm definitely starting him. Godwin against Indy. I just like the matchup better. You know what you're getting with Baker, at least.
As somebody who once worked in a job where I had to cut fish at a supermarket, I don't know if I should feel offended or complimented by that.
No, see, I feel like I can speak on this because I also worked at a seafood-only market.
I worked there.
I worked the seafood department.
I did in college. I worked the seafood counter at a supermarket for a summer. So I don't know if I should feel offended or complimented that you know, basically compared my job to an NFL quarterback's. Yeah. But exactly. It is enough that I'm not going to play Garrett Wilson.
I mean, did you throw the fish like they do in the Seattle market?
No, I was not quite that advanced. No,
I threw fish, but it wasn't like that.
Yeah, I don't think they were going to trust an 18-year-old kid to be tossing fish across a supermarket at that point.
Go long.
Right, exactly. Tim Boyle, I think the most telling stat about Tim Boyle is that during his college career, 3 years at UConn, he had one touchdown pass and 13 interceptions, like for his entire career. I don't know what his high school numbers were. I would hope that he threw more touchdowns than interceptions in high school, but I can neither confirm nor deny that. That doesn't make me excited about starting Garrett Wilson. So by default, I go Sutton and Godwin in this one. I also just say that, you know, for weeks now, Jets fans and a lot of people in general have been saying, like, it can't get any worse than Zach Wilson. We'll see. We'll see.
Hold my beer.
Right. We're going to find out this week whether or not that's true because, you know, it could be a be careful what you wish for situation.
I'll show you, Fireman Ed.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that is in Wilson's favor is the fact that, you know, they're playing Miami, so maybe they get behind. But, I mean, that defense is good, so it could just be a close, drag-out, boring game.
Shopping. No one's going to be even watching this game, I feel.
I've pretty much committed to helping put up Christmas decorations with the wife on Friday.
Yeah, I don't care about this game, but, yeah. I'm sitting Wilson. I can't do it with him right now. There's backup quarterbacks that come in and you're like, I don't like this, but all right. Boyle's like, what? Who? No, I'm good. Yeah. Move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a situation where Jake Browning doesn't look so bad, does it?
Jake Browning, Tommy DeVito.
Yeah. DeVito's like, look,
at least we're not asking questions about the Giants receivers because we know better than that.
Man. All right, so Marcus, you get to finish this off with the tight end one here, and I wanted to sneak Isaiah Likely in here because of the Mark Andrews injury. You get Likely against the Chargers or Evan Ingram against the Texans.
As much as I know Likely is getting hyped up this week, and I understand that, I'm still gonna go with Ingram just because he's been meh, but he's been consistently meh all year long.
Yeah.
As a good friend of mine would say, Evan Ingram is oatmeal, right? Where like oatmeal is fine, right? It's filling. It will sustain you. It's reasonably healthy. But if you go out to breakfast with friends and family, you're not like, let me get some of that oatmeal. Like you're not ordering that when you go out to brunch, but it's good enough. And that's sort of been Evan Ingram. I'm going to call it right now. I'm going to plant my flag. Evan Ingram scores a touchdown this week.
Yeah, he
finally gets
great.
In the end zone this week.
Yeah.
I hope you are right.
Yeah. So I will take his consistency with the touchdown upside over the mystery box that is Isaiah Likely.
Yeah. 100% agree. I mean, I've been saying it all year. We get questions about Evan Ingram all the time. And I'm like, dude's third in tight end targets this year. Like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You get the mystery box or the boat.
I will.
It could be anything. It could even be a boat, you know?
Yeah. Why not? I'll close out the sweep here with Ingram. You know, Texans are not good against the tight end position. So, you know, we're sitting here talking about Ridley, Zay Jones, and Kirk, and hell, this could just be an Ingram game, honestly. So, I will gladly take that call that he gets into the end zone. Hopefully he does. And I'm going Ingram. So that's all we got for the start sit section of the show here. Now we get into some fun with the hashtag silly string picks.
Marcus, a little explanation here for those listening and watching. What we do is we pick a player, a non-quarterback player, and we take their projection for the week, and we say whether or not we think that player will go over or under it. If we lose, we need to get silly stringed, record it, and post it on social media with the hashtag silly string picks. Everybody is welcome to join us. When I tweet out the show, find it, and or just tag silly string picks on Twitter, and I will find it and get you involved as well. I did not do my homework before the show because I'm not used to doing it on Tuesday. It's usually on Thursday, but so I don't have the winners or losers from last week, although I know I lost. Thanks, Tony Pollard, for finally scoring a touchdown. But
love it.
Do not have my video yet. Also, not used to having it ready by Tuesday. But that being said, Marcus, we will start with you. If you're willing to have some fun with us.
Sure, why not? I was going through and looking at them, and then I had to remind myself that this is half PPR because I'm like, these numbers look ridiculously low. I'm going to take everybody.
Yeah. I know.
Right? I was like, 19 for Christian McCaffrey, that's ridiculous. And then I was like, oh, wait, it's half PPR. Let me think about this again. So I scrolled down. And I am going to throw my lot in with Stephon Diggs going against the Philadelphia Eagles. He is right now at 14.3 half point PPR points. The last two games have not been great for Diggs. I think he's got something like 60 yards, I think, combined over the last 2 weeks. You know, I haven't seen any angry Trevon Diggs tweets, so I don't know how that's working out at the moment. But I think the fact that it's 2 weeks in a row that haven't been great for him. They've got the new offensive coordinator there, Joe Brady, taking over after Ken Dorsey was fired. A game that should be very high scoring between the Bills and the Eagles, and an Eagles secondary that still gives up plays. I know there were no Chiefs wide receivers that had a big game fantasy-wise on Monday night.
But that's because
they kept dropping the football, right? I mean, Justin Watson had drops. And everybody remembers, obviously, the MVS drop that potentially could have won the game for Kansas City if he catches it. Those guys are not Stephon Diggs, and they're not a motivated, upset about not getting enough targets Stephon Diggs. So even at 14-plus points, I'm going to take Diggs against the Eagles this week.
I like it. Right. I mean, I agree with that. I think it's happening. Watson, the only saving grace with Watson is that I felt like it was a Watson game, so I grabbed him up in a couple of my DraftKings pick'ems, and he balled out for me.
He got the touchdown. Drops, yeah.
Those drops kind of hurt. I'm
like, I picked up MVS in King's Classic because we were out players, and I was sitting there like messaging Keith and was like, hey man, you want to just take a stab at the Kansas City offense, MVS? He's like, sure. Did it. And then, like, the pass got thrown, and I was like, yes, no. What happened? We won anyway, but it was still like, oh my gosh, that could have been even better.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go with Turkey Day game with Dallas. Pulling for Brandon Cooks here, man. He's at 8.43 points right now. I'm going to go over. I think he finds the end zone this week. Washington, as we already said, has taken over as the worst possible team against receivers. I think CD's going to eat all day too, but Dak's going to be there, and Cooks is hopefully going to find the end zone. So I'm going to go over the 8.43.
For Cooks.
All right.
Joe, what do you got?
I already gave my mic.
Oh, sorry. Mike.
I wasn't sure if you were going to show the video or not.
I will. I'll show it at the. I might as well get the picks in first.
So it's been a rough couple weeks for Derrick Henry, but he's going to bounce back this week against the Carolina Panthers. Second best matchup against the running backs, allowing 26.5 half PPR points. And the thing is like Carolina has not been playing, you know, games that where you're scoring a lot, because that's really been the issue there, you know, against, you know, Jacksonville last week. It went up big. Couldn't really use Derrick Henry. Got 10 rushing attempts. And then the previous week, Tampa Bay, they were down 6, you know, finished the game 6-20. This game, I think it's going to be a little bit back and forth where Derrick Henry gets his, you know, usual 20-plus touches, and he could easily smash his over. And he's only projected 13.2. So give me a touchdown, and Derrick Henry smashes that.
Okay. What was the projection? I missed the number.
13.2.
Okay. I don't know if you ever said it. Okay. All right. So, Marcus, real quick, I'll show you what you're in for if you lose.
Okay.
I do have my video because I did not make it before last week's show, unfortunately. So here is what we got.
Really string picks from Fantasy Six Pack. Don't know where I'm supposed to go. Apparently, I believe this is the week 10 loss video for Deontay Johnson doing next to nothing. Thanks, AJ, for picking him as my player.
Yeah.
So now my kid is and there we go.
The laughs are always the best.
The joy your children are having by silly stringing.
Oh, yes.
This time mine's actually working.
Yeah. When it gets near the end, it just becomes like liquid spray, and it's not good. But it's fun.
I breathed in a little bit too much of it the last time and was
just like, oh yeah.
Okay. That was
all right. Well, hearing your stories, I am a huge Stephon Diggs fan this week. Let's go.
Yes.
Let's go, exactly. Steph.
It's a good time. But I will say the people that get to spray you have much more fun than you do.
I can imagine. Yes.
Yes. And your kids.
At least my kids don't hit me in the face like they do you, AJ.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need to get your kids some stools or something, or
I asked them politely before week one not to smack me in the face with it. I thought they would just not listen, but they were pretty cool about it.
Yeah, my family does not listen. But then again, I didn't tell them not to. They just automatically do it. And
all right. I mean, I just have like an anchor man, like, you know, no touching of the hair or face.
Yeah.
You know,
sort of
thing.
There are rules. All right. So, Marcus, I want to thank you for coming on to the show, man. It was a great time. And before we let you go, let everybody know where they can find you and what you got going on these next few weeks.
Yeah. The best place to find me is on Twitter, X, Twitter. At Marcus G, MarcasG. That's kind of where I'm posting a lot of my stuff. But individually, I am on NFL Fantasy Live, which is on NFL Network. Our show is on Monday through Friday. Set your DVR if anybody still runs their DVRs. Set your DVR. We usually are on at 6 o'clock Eastern time most days of the week. I do the NFL Fantasy Football Show, which is both a streaming show and a podcast, along with Michael F. Florio, not the guy who runs Pro Football Talk. This guy is cool. Check that out. Also, I got stories about that. Also, I'm doing some stuff over at fantasylife.com. I get to do a show with Dwayne McFarlane and Ian Harditz, who are incredibly smart and fun. Also fortunate enough this year to do a show with Matthew Berry and with Golden Tate, which is very cool as well. You can check that out at fantasylife.com, or you can go over to YouTube and just look for, you know, Fantasy Life over there. So plenty of places. And then I do stuff on TikTok. Which I never thought I would say out loud, but I am a TikToker now, so that's where we are in my life.
I opened up a TikTok account and then promptly didn't use it.
Yeah, it's funny because like my wife would like sit on the couch and giggle and stuff, and like I would open it up, and it was either people dancing or it was like women who were wearing very little clothing, and I'm like, this app is gonna get me divorced. So once I was able to finesse the algorithm. Yeah, once I was able to finesse the algorithm into, you know, what I thought was more acceptable, I kind of settled into it.
So it's yeah. Yeah. Nice. I feel you. All right, man. Well, thanks again for coming on. Well, hopefully we can do it again soon.
Sounds good, guys. I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Much appreciated. Happy Thanksgiving to you and family, and enjoy the holiday weekend.
Indeed.
All right. Mike, do we have any other questions before... we bounce. I feel like some came in. Oh, Dion again asking, with Walker injured, do I start Jerome Ford or Mixon? God, like, these ones are so hard.
I would go and Njoku.
No, but the Ford or Mixon first.
Yeah, I know.
I'm still going
Mixon. I'm going Mixon.
I mean, he's gonna. I mean, I think he's the only running back who gets the ball. Njoku or Pitts? Yeah, it's just Njoku for me. DTR loved Njoku this past week, and I don't think it changes. So
yeah, exactly. Bob Dole sliding. What's up, Bob?
Yep, Bob Dole. Love it. All right, so that is it. Want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Hope you all enjoy it with your friends and your family. And we will be back next week on our regular time Thursday night. So have fun and see you all then.
Gobble, gobble, happy turkey.